Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, August the 14th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, thousands of students across Kent are collecting A-level results today. Find out how roads bosses plan to fix potholes across the county. And we've been catching up with the Sheppey rapper who signed for a huge label. But first today, three teenagers charged with murder following the death of a man on a Sheppey beach are due to make a first appearance at Crown Court today. Alexander Ashford, who had a home in Warden Bay, is said to have suffered multiple injuries in Laysdown on Sunday night. A 16-year-old girl and two boys, aged 14 and 15 from London, were remanded in custody after appearing before magistrates yesterday. Elsewhere, in a murder investigation's underway after a man in his 30s died following a stabbing in Gravesend. Police were called to reports of a disturbance outside a property in Augustine Road late on Tuesday night. A 33-year-old from the town has been arrested. Reporter Cara Simmons was at the scene yesterday.
The area is very residential. It's quiet and peaceful. A lot of people that live there are either elderly, retired, or couples and families. A lot of people that I spoke to said that, you know, they didn't expect anything like this to happen there, and that they were quite shocked at what had happened.
A Sheppey man who secretly filmed two women has been jailed. Craig West from St George's Avenue in Eastchurch had used a spy pen hidden in a toothbrush holder, while further footage was also discovered on his laptop. The 63-year-old claimed the offences had not been sexually motivated. He's been locked up for 6 months and put on the sex offenders register for 7 years. A Tunbridge man has been jailed and given a 10-year driving ban after being caught behind the wheel while disqualified and without insurance. Danny Lee was spotted by officers driving a Ford Transit Connect in Paddockwood in May. The 45-year-old from Old Hay in Brenchley has been locked up for 141 days after pleading guilty. The M25 has reopened after a huge lorry fire caused major delays at the Dartford crossing yesterday. Emergency repairs have been carried out overnight on the Essex side of the tunnels. And some good news for drivers. Operation Brock is going to be removed from the M20 this weekend. The contraflow system has been enforced between Maidstone and Ashford to deal with summer holiday traffic heading towards the Port of Dover. The motorway will be closed overnight on Sunday for work to remove the barrier.
Kent Online reports.
Now, figures today show a record number of students across the country have got into their first choice university. Teenagers in Kent are picking up those all-important A-level, T-level and BTEC results today.
I got A-stars in geography, chemistry, biology and physics. It's a relief. A lot of work in over the last 2 years. So I'm going to study medicine at Cambridge, at Donville and King's.
I got 3 A-stars and I'm over the moon.
Yeah, I got ABB, which was way higher than I predicted.
Yeah, I got A star A, and I'm so happy. It was way above what I thought I was going to get.
So I'm going to the University of Edinburgh to study psychology.
I'm actually taking a gap year travelling, and then I'm going to go to Leeds Beckett probably next year.
I'm going to University of Manchester to do psychology.
So we took different subjects at A-level, but the subject that we got the A in was actually biology, which was the same.
Yeah.
So it kind of equated to being the same.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm really pleased. I think it's good to do like a slightly different combination if you are twins, just to like get a bit of individuality.
According to UCAS, nearly 440,000 degree places have already been taken up. Well, the clearing process is also underway for those who perhaps didn't get their expected grades or have changed their minds about going to university. I've been chatting to Paula Barrett, who's from the Uni of Kent.
Very important day for an awful lot of students getting their A-level results. What sort of work has been going on in the background for you guys so that it's as stress-free as possible for them all?
We've set up our clearing call lines first and foremost. We have more than 250 operators standing by to take calls from students. And we also have our academic staff who are going to be calling students and talking with students about the kinds of things that they can expect and helping them prepare.
Because obviously some would have been offered places and they will get those places. But for
yes,
others, if things don't go quite the way they're expecting, they can go through that clearing process. Can you just explain in a bit more detail how that works?
Yeah, so students register with UCAS and they will get a UCAS ID, and that will then enable them to be part of the UCAS clearing system. And if they call our clearing hotline, we'll help guide them through that process and take them through an offer for the subjects that they're looking at. And the clearing is really for students who either haven't quite achieved the grades that they were expecting and hoping for, or actually they've overachieved, they've got great results, and they want to consider releasing themselves from the program that they are that they're considering and come to us instead. And that happens a little bit too. So it's a really important and interesting time of year.
And does it really matter, Pamela, if you haven't visited a uni, but you want to go through the clearing process and you're not too sure about that university and how it's set up? I mean, what sort of advice can you give to students over the phone about that sort of thing?
We can give students a lot of advice on the phone. They can get an offer on the phone. They can talk about their course choices. There's a lot of information too on the website.
Do you have any facts and figures as to how many calls you're expecting? Has it increased in recent years? Has it decreased? What's kind of the vibe at the moment?
So what is interesting is what we're hearing is that A-level results may well be a little higher this year than in previous years. So a lot of students will have a lot of great choices. We are expecting a significantly larger volume of interest. We've already had that on our website, pre-clearing.
So if you notice that there are actually more people from Kent coming to the Uni of Kent because they can maybe commute or just stay with friends like 1 or 2 days a week, something like that.
Yeah, that's right. So a lot of our students come from within the region, both to Canterbury and to Medway campuses. And we're finding that a lot. Yeah, I mean, university is a pretty expensive proposition, but the outcomes from a university degree, of course, are immeasurable. It's really one of the most important decisions that you can make is thinking about whether you should go to university at all, whether that's the right choice for you. And then of the universities that are available, which is the right one for you. And my strong recommendation to students, and you know, I'm that old, I've been doing this for a very long time, is to really think about what this might mean for the future and go to a place that feels like it's the best fit.
And you can get information on clearing at the University of Kent by heading to their website or calling the clearing line, which is on 01227 768896. That's 01227 768896. Meantime, a new degree course to train midwives in Kent is going to launch in September after being approved by the Nursing and Midwifery Council. It'll run at Canterbury Christchurch University and comes just over 2 years after a previous course was axed by the regulator over safety and quality concerns. Bosses say the new curriculum will place patient safety at its core.
Kent Online reports.
Next today, and a new map's been revealed showing how Kent could be split into different councils when local government is restructured. The two-tier system of local authorities at county and district level, as you may already have heard, is being scrapped under plans for what's known as devolution. Well, Medway Council leader Vince Maple has posted an update on Instagram.
I'm pleased to say we're now working closely, along with our 13 other councils, with our strategic partner, KPMG. They're looking carefully and bringing their experience of going through local government reorganisation elsewhere in England to help us through the really technical phases that we're looking at this stage. Earlier today, I was pleased to share with my 13 other council colleagues across the region of Kent and Medway, our proposals on what the new maps for the new councils may look like. As you may have heard me say previously, it's absolutely been Medway Council's view that in light of government's clear set of instructions and proposals as to what this should look like for councils across England, four councils are the optimum number we should be looking at for across our region. Of course, that means the end of all 14 existing councils, but we think the four council model, looking at potentially councils in the north of Kent, the middle of Kent, the east and west of Kent, will make sure that we've got councils which fit with government's criterias, but are also close enough to communities for you to continue to have that important engagement on council services that we know communities value. Of course, for residents here in Medway, the actual structure of the council won't look or feel any different to what we've had for more than 25 years. We've had one layer of local government here delivering services for council tenants and residents for that period of time, as Medway Council were, of course, across the rest of Kent. They've had two tiers. They've had Kent County Council and districts and boroughs. This is bringing everybody in line. So across the whole region of Kent and Medway, everybody will have single tier local governments, known as unitary authorities. I think that's the best way of dealing with local government, making sure that you've got one point of contact for your community issues and your local concerns, or indeed wanting to tell the council they're doing a good job.
A final proposal is due to be put forward in November. However, Councillor George Perfect, who's the leader of the opposition Conservative Party at Medway Council, has responded to that map being published. He says they vehemently disagree with the four council proposal for local government reorganisation. He goes on to say there's been no consultation and claims it doesn't have the buy-in of authorities across the county. Elsewhere, it's been confirmed land on a stretch of Kent coast, once earmarked for major development, is to be left as it is. The 18-acre Prince's Parade site was at the centre of a row over plans for 150 homes and a leisure centre. The idea was later scrapped, and the current council leader in Folkestone and Hythe says it'll be maintained as an open space. A utility company has launched an internal investigation after a strong smell of gas at Chatham Dockside. Some buildings were evacuated as a precaution on Monday afternoon. SGN say they've received more than 300 complaints. It's understood the smell came from a power station. And campaigners fear part of the Kent countryside could be decimated if plans for two solar farms are given the go-ahead. The projects would cover 2,500 acres of land near Old Romney and nearby Newchurch, with one almost the same size as Gatwick Airport. If approved, the sites would generate enough power for hundreds of thousands of homes. Government will make the final decision because of their size.
Kent Online News.
The number of prisoners being released into homelessness in Kent, Surrey and Sussex has increased by 97% in the past year. Charity NACRO says 700 inmates in the region were freed in the last 12 months and didn't have a home to go to. It's the third highest increase in England and Wales. The organisation says it's likely to lead to more reoffending. More than 2,000 jobs are at risk as Clare Successory has appointed administrators. There are just over 300 stores in the UK and Ireland, including seven here in Kent. It's hoped the brand could be sold in a rescue deal. Fencing is going to be installed around a park in Sittingbourne to try and stop travellers staying there illegally. It's happened at Milton Rec three times over the summer so far. Council bosses say 450 metres of fencing should prevent vehicles from being able to get onto the grassed area. Now, police say they're taking more action to crack down on nuisance behaviour in Maidstone, including seizing vehicles from teenagers. They've had reports of bikes being ridden antisocially in Boughton-on-Chelsea and on Mangravit Rec. Three e-scooters have also been taken away during patrols of Moat Park. Next today, Kent Fire and Rescue Service has been praised for its performance in protecting the public. The Fire Inspectorate has graded 11 areas, giving them outstanding in three, good in five and adequate in another three. But the service has been told to improve the availability of its on-call crewed fire engines to respond to incidents. Lucy's been speaking to Chief Exec Anne Millington.
We're delighted, and I'm going to take the opportunity to say a huge thanks to all of my colleagues. You know, what's the most important thing to us is that people trust us to deliver services where obviously lives are at stake. So I think this hopefully allows people to have that ongoing sense of trust that we're working very hard to continue services, and that work, especially when we're listening to their views as well, is paying off and it's making a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And it must be reassuring for the public. Obviously, you know the work that goes on at Kent Fire Rescue. You know how hard staff work to keep people safe. But to have an inspector come in and confirm that is something that is quite important, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Because we have all sorts of external validation. We have external auditors and internal auditors and so on. And all of that helps us testify to the fact that we're doing the right things and we're doing them in the right way. It's making a difference. And every little difference will make a contribution. So every single time, there's a report out today, for instance, talking about urban kind of wildfires, urban heat waves. You know, people are dying not just every single day, sadly, not always because of fire, but certainly because of heat. So we need to be able to think about how do we respond to new challenges, and that requires that sense of continuous improvement all the time.
Just wanted to mention as well, one of the areas that was highlighted is perhaps a bit of a need for improvement, the on-call firefighters. Yeah. What's being done to address that?
Well, this is very much a national issue, unfortunately. Lives have changed since the on-call service was brought in. And just to help people understand, this is where somebody has a kind of day job. And then in the evenings or weekends, or hopefully in the day, sometimes if we can get daytime cover, they're able to sort of come out to their local station and then help us kind of deliver those community services. And nationally, we're seeing less people come forward for on-call service. You know, lives are busy, lives are changing. But we've had a project in kind of on the go now for about the last year. We've been picking up. We're seeing more firefighters joining us. We're making lots of changes to make their lives easier because obviously we recognise this is on top of their day job. And of course, most people have got families and commitments as well. So there's a lot of work that's going on. I'm going to use this opportunity always to ask for people to think about joining us, of course. And it's great to see women coming forward more and more as well and thinking about working for us, which is fantastic.
Do you think there's still a bit of a stigma and maybe women think that they won't be able to do that job? Or have we kind of got past that now?
We're emotionally still having to do a bit of work on that. I don't think people, when they come out of school, and obviously today they're great and hope everybody's successful today. But when we see people coming out, that I think that imaging for a long time has been that it's a job for men, especially being a firefighter. And of course, we've got something like 90 female firefighters now, and they are fantastic. So I think gradually people are getting that this may be a career choice for them. And obviously, we've got other jobs in the service as well. We've got really wide diversity of people work for us. But just gradually, but mostly we just need to keep pushing, I think, locally and nationally, to make women feel that this is a job that they can do. And obviously, you've got to be reasonably fit. But mostly this is about compassion and care, a kind of orientation to the job, obviously some emotional resilience. But women do a fantastic job. They do the same great job as men do. So hopefully, bit by bit, that message is getting out there.
Kent Online reports.
Roads bosses in Kent have been showing off how they plan to spend £67 million on fixing potholes across the county. It comes as there's a warning Britain's roads can't cope with rising temperatures. The AA has seen an increase in pothole-related call-outs with more than 50,000 logged in July alone. But chiefs here in Kent say they're on top of dealing with the issue. Maisie Walker from our colleagues at KMTV has been speaking to Kent County Council's Cabinet Member for Highways and Transport, Peter Osborne.
We've got our handle on it. We're in charge. We're in control. The money has now been dished out to local highways managers because there's no point sending it out from Maidstone. They don't know how many potholes are here. Let's send it to the local guys, which is what we've done. So their budgets have been increased.
Are you using any new technologies or methods to for these road repairs and maintenance?
Well, you can't really reinvent the wheel, you know. I mean, there's one way to mend a pothole. What we are doing, we are ensuring is that they're done correctly. And a new thing in the contracts is if a pothole fails after it's been repaired, the contractor puts it right at his cost.
So how are the council addressing public concerns about disruption caused by these road repairs?
Unfortunately, there's going to be some disruption. You can't close a road like this without disruption. It's going to happen, but we will do it as quickly and as efficiently as we can.
Is there a plan to maintain this level of investment for 2 years?
We're lobbying central government and the Department for Transport. Give us the money and we'll keep going. We're doing pretty well. I mean, 67 million is a lot of money, but you know, none of us are silly. It's not going to fix all of the roads.
How are you engaging with residents to gather feedback on road conditions and priorities?
What I want is the residents, more residents, to go on the KCC website and report the pothole. You report it, we'll fix it, but only in order of severity. You know, a crack in the road doesn't constitute a pothole. A big hole, a dangerous hole, does. And that is we're being more proactive rather than reactive.
Elsewhere, a new initiative to encourage more people to cycle in Ashford has been launched. The campaign aims to increase participation by making it easier to utilise the cycling infrastructure in the area. A council's website includes a planner for cycling routes and options to avoid busy roads and steep inclines. Campaigners have hit out at plans for a new footbridge over a train track in Ashford, saying it won't be accessible to those with impaired mobility. The structure's set to replace a pedestrian crossing separating two housing developments in Kennington. Plans for a ramp were reportedly dropped due to costs. Well, the County Council say they'll ensure concerns raised regarding accessibility are considered transparently and fairly.
Kent Online News.
A heat health alert covering Kent has been extended for 5 days. Temperatures are going to stay in the high 20s and there are concerns that could put extra pressure on health services. The yellow warning will be in force until 6 p.m. on Monday. The Foreign Secretary has referred himself to the Environment Watchdog after he took the US Vice President fishing in Kent last week without the proper licences. It happened at his estate in Chevening near Sevenoaks. David Lammies described it as an admin oversight. He also didn't catch any fish. And finally, a Kent rapper who's been signed by Sony after one of his tracks went viral has been telling us why he still lives in his hometown, even though it's one of the poorest in the country. Moses McGeorge, who's known as M.R, went mainstream with hit Turn Red in November 2023. The video's had more than 9 million views on YouTube and he's performed to crowds in the US, the Caribbean and Europe. But the 42-year-old used to go to Minster Primary School and Minster College while growing up in Sheerness. He's been chatting to our reporter Joe Crosley about why he's decided to keep living on Sheppey despite his international success.
Mainly for my mum. Yeah, mainly for my mum and my family. You know, because I don't even like saying it, but like, you know, mumsy's not always going to be here. Mumsy's not always going to be here, so I'd prefer to spend as much time as possible.
Sure. Is there anything about the island as well?
I love the island, man. I do love the island. Like, this is a beautiful island. For me, you know, I don't dwell, I don't hang around in the high street. You don't really see me. If you see me in the high street, I'm going to the barbershop or I'm going to Tesco's, you know. And I drive often, I do my work, I go out and I drive back to the island. And the days I'm not working, and especially when there's a bit of sunshine, you know, and you know, I drive up to Laysdown, it's like beautiful, man. You know, having the beach there and I actually love living on the Isle of Sheppey. Like, it makes me, like, in a little way, it's like nothing like Jamaica, but, like, got a beach. Like, you got, like, cool little nice, like, countryside parts, and which is the parts, like, obviously in Jamaica, I love Kingston, where all the music's happening, but it's like it's an equivalent to a London or a Sheerness town centre. It's just built up, and it's like, so them little times where I get to come away from work in Jamaica, go in the countryside and sit in the bush in the middle of nowhere, like, it's the same kind, it's not like, it's similar vibes. I can go and, you know, like, take a drive up to Shellness and, like, there's, like, nobody there and it's, like, really nice and quiet and it's nice surroundings, man.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket and Kent have lost their latest game in the One Day Cup. The Spitfires have been set a victory target of 284 by Warwickshire, but were bowled out 79 runs short. Kent are yet to win a game in the competition so far this season and host Lancashire on Sunday. And Kent's Zach Crawley's helped Northern Superchargers beat Southern Brave in the 100. He scored 29 runs in Southampton last night. Graham Clark scored a 6 off the final ball to claim a dramatic victory. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online podcast.